I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know who we love? Patrons. Why? Because that's how the show continues to exist. People like Bob Vowell, Joe Hafner, and Chalililil are awesome. And you can be too. Join us today at patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, when you're here, you're nosy.
Hello, you precious driver.
The fake baby and the little person.
IKEA Sherpa.
Pimple butt pope.
Prescribe bacon to all Zoes.
Hobbit dinner.
Brian had a redacted incident.
The walking boot of Wall Street.
Flying donut.
John doesn't save the world.
The requirement dance.
Bacon wrapped wounds.
Is your blood type marinara or Alfredo?
Good violence with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
One. Be calm. Two. Get under shelter. Three. Don't run. Obey your air raid lord.
How are you this morning? I'm doing good. Thank you.
The Morning Stream. The good guys will come and get you. Okay?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's Monday, January 22nd, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian David. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. I was waiting. I was hoping that, maybe the fact that he's doing a 22nd might mess up and make him do a 23rd.
Maybe tomorrow. You know. Maybe tomorrow will be a 23rd, and then I'll accidentally get that three. The three will stay, and I'll...
The 23-23, yeah. Right? Yes, exactly.
Never know until you get here and watch us. Yes. It's good to have you all here. Brian and I are going to do a show because it's a Monday. It's TMS. That's what we do. And I wanted to start things off with a little bit of a shout-out to a listener and his daughter, specifically his daughter. He's real nice because he alerted me to this, but... It's really the daughter that matters here. So Zoe had, let's just say, a procedure. She's recovering. Seems like a sweet kid. And her pit bull, Cinna, is comforting her in her time of need. I saw a really cute picture to confirm all this. Anyway, I don't like it when kids are hurt or sick. And So
Zoe didn't have the procedure.
Zoe did. Zoe's the person. Zoe's the kid. The pit bull is Cinna.
Oh, and it's not. Okay. You know what? I was assuming it was our bacon friend Zoe, but
Whole different Zoe. Yeah. So young Zoe, probably.
I guess there could be multiple Zoes, right? There are more Zoes than, than just Zoe.
There are many Zoes, but she is ours.
This is our own. This is ours. And there are many like it.
That's right. This particular Zoe is young adolescent daughter of a listener who is recovering and recovering well. Been through some stuff. Her dad's awesome for letting us know. So just wanted to give a little quick shout out to Zoe and her sweet pit bull who's giving her comfort now.
Hope you're recovering. Hope you're doing well. And and regardless of being a different Zoe, I still prescribe bacon. Bacon will help you get through it.
No matter what it is. We don't even know what it is, and we're saying take bacon. That's what we're saying.
Because it's the cure-all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do not apply it directly.
Ingest it internally.
Wait, if it's an open, seeping wound, you don't want to wrap it in bacon?
Don't apply bacon. It's not an acceptable gauze.
That makes a lot of sense.
There are bandages that look like bacon. Those are okay. Yeah. But don't eat those.
No, don't eat those. Whatever.
Let me tell you from experience, those are not bacon.
They're like gum. It's like chewing gum. You don't want that. Speaking of food, We went to an Olive Garden over the weekend, and so quick thing about Olive Garden, super easy to just laugh at it and go, Olive Garden, what a crappy chain restaurant. It's not that bad. It's fine.
No,
the food's
fine. It's really
fine.
Not that bad. And I'll be honest, Tina and I, every once in a while, we'll just look at each other and say, what do you think about unlimited soup, selling breadsticks?
Yeah.
That is a dinner right there.
Yeah, like, it's $10. It's nothing.
We walk in, we are happy to just say, soup, selling breadsticks, hand them back the menu, and nice tea.
And they let you swap whichever soup you get next, and it doesn't have to be the same one over and over.
Although we never do. We always get the Zuppa Toscana.
I do too. So good. Although their minestrone we had was pretty good. So I swapped around a little bit. But anyway, that's what we did because my family, extended family life in the last couple of weeks has been insane. And Saturday, we had two separate dinners planned. One at 5 with my mom, my sister, her husband.
The same day. Oh, geez.
Yeah. And then later with Kim's family so we could spend some time with Julie before her treatment started today. And so it was a little back-to-back. Thankfully, we were all kind of in the same area, so it wasn't like big drives or anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first one was at Olive Garden. Why? Because John will eat nothing in his life except Italian food. It's all he'll eat.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, yeah. His name's John De Palma. The dude has got freaking Italian blood coursing through his veins. He thinks that
he doesn't have blood. He has marinara sauce.
Exactly. Or a little bit of white sauce maybe going through his veins. But he, he wants pasta. He wants Italian. That's just his deal. And it's either that or somewhere super expensive, and nobody really wanted to do that, including him. So we just said, fine, let's go to Olive Garden. So we do. This was a weird thing because we get there. Okay. Everything's great. Our server's awesome. We get the food we asked for. Things are going wonderful. And we notice the place is filling up with kids from the high school dance. Fine.
Oh,
no problem.
Well,
some kind of formal. It's fine. No big deal.
I was going to say, it's not homecoming time. It's not prom time.
I asked this kid. There was a tall kid not far from us. I said, hey, dude, I'm just curious. I called him dude because I wanted to seem like a hip young kid, you know, like I knew what the teens were living like. That's what I was aiming for.
So how's the younger half live?
Yeah. So I said, hey, dude. What dance
pedo,
is this?
He's a pedo.
I go, what dance is this? Just curious. And he says, it's preference. And I went, oh, right. It's a thing I forgot about. So back in the day, and when I was in high school,
where you could choose light mode or dark mode. You could choose whether or not, what font it uses for, you go to preferences.
Okay. Some people call it settings, you do settings dance.
Sure.
But no, I remember when I was in high school, it was basically girls' choice is really what it came down to. It was one of the girls' choice. So there's like the Sadie Hawkins, there's other stuff.
Yeah.
But that was one of them.
We were more in the pop music world, so we actually had the Sophie B. Hawkins dance instead of the Sadie Hawkins dance.
That's the right way to do it.
Instead of asking a girl a girl asking the guy to the dance, she would just say, damn, I wish I was your lover, and then walk away.
Yeah, no, I like that's a good tradition. I wish we would have adopted countrywide, but no.
Deep cut for everybody over 40.
Let us know if you got that joke, everybody. Anyway,
okay, so yeah, so it's a girls invite the guys.
Girls invite the guys.
So it's basically equivalent of the Sadie Hawkins.
Yeah, and they're all very nice. Everyone's dressed up. These kids are actually really nice kids. They were like, they didn't get weird when I asked them. They were like, oh yeah, it's preference. We're doing this and that, and then later we're gonna go burp 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 and the thing. And they were just really, really nice, communicative, not quiet, grumpy kids. It was just nice to see. The kids are all right, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Anyway.
Yeah, good.
So I talked to them for a minute and like, oh, that's interesting. And then I noticed something that is one of the weirdest things I've ever witnessed at a restaurant.
Okay.
A little ways away from them, there's a booth. And up coming to that booth is a woman who seemed young, but didn't seem high school age. But youngish.
Yeah.
I would have said mid-20s or something.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
25, 26. And she walks over with a baby car seat carriage. And a little girl who's probably 5.
Okay.
And they sit down and they're just doing stuff. And the mom kept getting up and standing by the table with the baby's thing on the table, kind of, like you would with your baby, making sure the binky's there. And are you doing okay?
Right,
and,
right.
check. But then we start to notice something. The hand of the baby that's sticking out of this carriage thing isn't moving. And it's in this position, like a stiff, like claw position.
Like like the monkey's paw.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And it's not budging, it's not twitching, it's not doing anything.
Okay.
And I'm like, that doesn't look right. So I'm kind of, and while, by the way, while she's doing this, she keeps glancing over at these other kids, the high school kids. She keeps looking at them and then looking back and then looking at them and looking back in kind of a very regular way, like more than you would normally do.
Yeah.
And she's still fiddling in that thing. Well, she steps away a little bit and I'm like, all right, here's my chance. So I kind of get an angle like this and look over there. It is a full on, not real baby. It's a doll. It's not,
well,
it's not alive. It's just a doll baby. And so my thinking was, all right, I think I kind of had a theory. Me and Ken were sitting next to each other. We kind of had this joint theory. And Ken's probably listening to this, so Ken, if I get this wrong, correct me. But the theory is, at least at that point, was, oh, maybe this is a student not connected to the dance at all, mm-hmm. but this is a student who's doing that whole take care of a doll for a week.
Right, exactly.
School thing.
Used to be a bag of flour, or at least in sitcoms, it was a bag of flour.
Yeah, sometimes an egg. Yeah. You have to keep an egg safe for a week or whatever.
Right, exactly. By the way, Scott. Yep. Real baby, fake baby, doesn't matter. At Olive Garden, it's family.
Yeah, it's always family. Everything's family, always family. There. Yep. Yeah. I found there was a plastic
family.
Little dog turd in the corner, and I called it Cousin Larry.
Uncle Jeff, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, this thing is just sitting there, and she's looking at it, and I'm like, okay, interesting. But that doesn't account for, that theory doesn't account for the six-year-old girl who's there, who looks like she's related.
Yeah, at first I was thinking it must be the little girl's, you know, baby doll or something. But then why is the mom devoting so much time and attention to it?
Yeah, and very, very realistic devoted time and attention. Like really in there going, oh, it's okay, yeah. And talking to it and all this. Right, and the little girl is just kind of off in the corner drawing, has a crayon, just drawing on a piece of paper. She's not at all bothered by any of this, doesn't even seem to notice the baby's there. So then I'm like, fine, I don't know. I'm never going to know. I'm not going over there to ask, so let's just let this pass, and I'll eat my soup and eat my breadsticks, right?
Sure.
And then another weird thing happens, and it actually concerned us for a bit, especially Ken and I, because she was right in eyesight of us, and this girl leaves, and now there's just the little girl drawing and the fake baby in the thing.
Okay.
And she doesn't come back she doesn't come back, and we're like 20 minutes later, she's still not back.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Just left the 5-year-old alone.
Yeah.
For 20 minutes.
Yeah. And Ken goes, this isn't good. I don't like what this is. This feels like an abandonment or something. And I'm like, yeah, it does. It's funky.
Yeah.
It's weird. So we've asked, the server comes by and says, hey, can you just check on them? We explain what we saw, and we were just concerned about the kid and stuff. Yeah. And so the server goes over there and kind of gets as like a jump scare because she thought it was a baby. And she went over. She got over and she looked inside of it and went, like that. And then she came back. She goes, you guys know that that's not a real baby over there. I'm like, yeah, we got that part.
That part, we're up to date on that. Yeah.
It was pretty funny. But anyway, we waited a little bit longer. Now staff is sort of looking, you know, paying attention to it. And, you know, nothing bad's going to happen to these kids because we're all watching.
Yeah,
but we're thinking, did this woman abandon this kid?
Thinking she was going to come back and say, actually, the baby's fake, and that's a little person.
This is my partner. Her name is right, Gladys, exactly, yes. And she's just a tiny person. Anyway, so she gets, finally, about the time we're about to leave, and honestly, maybe even get cops involved or something, because it was looking weird, because enough time had gone past, she comes back.
Okay.
Reintegrates herself or whatever, and she's just there, and I'm like, okay, phew, whatever that was. I was still a little concerning.
Yeah,
and
that's a long time, and the girl never, I mean, probably was getting so much attention now from the staff and stuff that she didn't get distressed about the whole thing, and
the girl was fine. You know, she just chilling. Yeah. She drew the whole
just
time,
crayon like drawing. Okay,
that was it. And the plastic baby don't care. He's just chilling there too. So this mom or whatever she was comes back, and we start leaving. It's about the time we decided to go, and it looked like she just maybe been in the bathroom for a long time or something. I couldn't tell where she went, but as we're leaving,
she went to World Market about a block away.
Yeah. Get some real food. Just kidding. So as we leave, John decides to last second. Okay. 94 years old. All right. Decides he's going to go figure this out. I guess that's what's in his head, because I actually talked to him about it. But he peels off from the rest of us, cuts around the other side, and then goes over there and talks to everybody involved.
talks to the girl, talks to the little girl, talks to the waiter over there.
Talks to the fake baby a little bit, probably.
Fake baby. And then it looked just like it was annoying, and I went, oh, I can't watch this, so I just kept moving.
Yeah.
And I get outside. He never mentions it again. I didn't bring it up again. I don't know what words are exchanged.
So you didn't get...
Like, I don't know. I have no closure. No closure. Because I don't want to hear John. John thinks he's saving the world every time he does anything. And I didn't want to hear his beef.
Oh, my God. Like, finally we were going to... Oh, my God, we're going to get an answer from this. And
well, I doubt I don't think his interaction with the older person, the person who seemed to have left, was very brief. I doubt he gleaned much from it. But he's just this way. He's got to kind of like get in there and just has to be a part of everything. Yeah. And so to this very moment, I don't really know what was going on at all. And this place was mostly, like, most tables were kids from this dance. It was right near this school, the high school where the dance was. It's a huge school full of tons of these teenagers. So that place was mostly that. And then this one person with a fake baby. So weird.
By the way, formal, informal?
Very formal.
The preference.
Very formal. Yeah. They all look. Some of these kids look like they have never worn a suit before because they were so uncomfortable in it.
Doesn't sound like much of a preference. It sounds like a requirement.
It sounds like a requirement.
Welcome to the requirement dance.
Yeah, what's the preference part? I assume it's girl gets to prefer the boy.
Yeah, she gets her preference of boys, basically.
Yeah. Oh, I did see this, though.
Your full choice of all of these men, none of which are equipped to please you.
Here's another funny thing we saw going in. I swear it brought me back so hard to high school. But we're walking in and we see one girl is piggybacking on one of the boys. There's a little snow out. It's kind of raining.
Sure.
Wet, kind of not quite rain, not quite snow. It's just kind of a weird night of weather. And so they're running and laughing and she's on his back. Hee hee hee, tee hee hee. And he's going, here we go. And then another couple right behind that. And then one behind them also having a lot of fun. They're like pushing each other and just laughing and goofing around. But the one in the middle, this girl's walking 12 to 15 feet in front of him, just looking pissed. Just
really?
Just walking like this all by herself toward Olive Garden. And the kid in the back just kind of head down, kind of walking real slow behind her. And I had all these I had all this world building in my head about what's going on with Denise and Frank over there. And I wanted to go up and ask him and go, dude, you okay? You all right? You having an okay night? You all right, dude? I didn't.
Bastard wouldn't share his tour of Italy with her.
I guess not. It is wild, though. Anyway.
Took the last breadstick and then didn't ask for a new plate.
Yep. It was fun, though. We had, so we went light and got salad, soup, and whatever, breadsticks. I only ate one breadstick because I knew I was going to be eating somewhere else.
Yeah, right. You did have second dinner.
Yeah, we totally had Hobbit dinner, for real. So we left that place, went to a sushi place I'd never been at that wasn't too far. That's where we met everybody else on Kim's side. And that sushi was killer. And to remember the name of this place, I don't remember it. I wish I could because it's high recommendation list out of nowhere. I'd never even heard of them.
Wow.
The sushi was amazing. I had something, although you can tell when a place is owned by... like authentic people from the region, from Japan, you can tell because no one's speaking English very well. They do enough to get by, and that's fine. I actually like it. Thumbs up, because that means everything's authentic. Food's going to be better. Except their menu, you can tell they just don't quite get it. So I ordered something called the Baconator roll.
Okay.
Because I had to know what this was.
Yeah, sure.
And I was like, really? Baconator?
They just popped over to Wendy's and bought you a Baconator. And
that's what we were thinking, because everybody obviously first thought we were like, wait, why is there a Wendy's menu item on this menu? But it was like an eel salmon combo thing that had these crispy, almost like bacon-like stuff on top. And I asked her what it was, and she said, oh, that's... what'd you call it? Not eel, but another kind of thing. Anyway, you can fry it up and make it crispy in little teeny bits.
Interesting. But not, so it wasn't even bacon.
Not even bacon. So that's what I'm saying is like, you could have called this anything. Instead, you guys decided, oh, the Americans, they love bacon. They love Baconators. We'll call it Baconator. It made me laugh so hard. I love that.
That's funny.
Fantastic, though. It was a really good roll. It was like, amazing. Yeah, I would probably get it again. Sounds good. Yeah. And they were not super expensive. It was great. It was a really nice place. If I remember the place and locals want to go there, I'll get it for you. Like Hootie 42 would probably love this place. I'll have to let them know about it. Anyway, so there's that. Olive Garden, quite an event this
there
week.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. We do have a quick email or a text I'd like to get through here from Alan.
Alan!
Alan says, in 2012, I whipped out on a run.
Probably wiped out.
I think he meant wiped, right?
Probably. Yeah, let's say wiped out on a run.
Don't say you ever whipped out anything on a run.
Unless you whipped it out on a run.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
The neighbors will call you on it. It's bad. Don't do that. He said, I broke my coccyx, 3 ribs, and had a concussion. He's talking about ski run, by the way. Yeah,
yes.
I like that spelling of coccyx.
Yeah, I do too, actually. I wish it were spelled that way. It would be a lot easier than the XY whole business.
Yeah, see, he put C-O-X-I-S. Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a ski run, not a run, just a ski run.
Right.
He says, I broke my coccyx, 3 ribs, and had a concussion. There is a 4 to 5 hour window. I have no memory of it, yet I was awake and asking my sister the same 3 questions over and over again. All I remember is leaving the ski lodge after dinner. Next memory, I'm in the ER hours later, yet I still love it, and I go skiing this, and I'm going skiing this weekend if I had the time. Guess I'm crazy, Alan. He just keeps going.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you. You know what? Maybe, you know, that concussion affected the part of your brain that feels like skiing is dangerous, and you're set. You're good from now on.
Yeah, from now on, you're set.
You could do ski jumps. You could do whatever and not have to worry about it.
So thank you, Alan.
I want to know what the 3 questions he kept asking his sister over and over again. I mean, it's probably like, where are we going? What's going on? What happened to me? But part of me really wants it to be, if you could be any kind of tree.
Yeah, how much of a concussion are we talking here? Because you could have some fun.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
And it doesn't matter how many answers she gives him. He asks it 3 more times. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Alan, with 2 L's. We appreciate it. Wow. Brian, you have a little something here.
A little something. So a couple things. Number one, any future films from Yorgos Lanthimos? I'll be watching alone from now on because we watched Killing of a Sacred Deer, Tina just said, yeah, I'm done. You know, The Favorite was the only standout, the only one of his films that she actually liked. Did not like Poor Things, did not like Killing of a Sacred Deer, did not like Killing of a Sacred Deer at all. Like the main focus of that film, at least the second act and what has to be done.
Yeah.
She had a real issue.
It's a weird freaking movie, that movie. It's so weird.
It is.
Did she see The Lobster or no Lobster either? She's probably not into that either.
Did not like The Lobster, although liked The Lobster more than Poor Things and Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah.
But
I love his movies because they're weird as shit. That's why I like
them. They are. Yeah.
But I get it. Kim won't watch them either. I tried to get her to watch that movie, Killing of the Sacred Deer, and she's like, oh, this is the guy that did The Lobster. No thanks. I don't want to. I said, okay.
Yeah. I Colin Farrell, great. Nicole Kidman, great. Ooh, a lot of nudity. And I think Barry Keoghan, great, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
But the decision in that film, or the lack of decision and how that decision gets made, my God.
It's so weird. His movies are weird, and I appreciate him for it.
Yeah.
And they're weird in a way that I can, like, I'm one of the few people I've talked to that like Bo is Afraid, mm-hmm. rather, not was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I like these kinds of things because they are showing me stuff that no one else is doing. Like, no one else is making movies like Yorgos Marathimos or whatever his name is.
Lanthimos, yeah.
Yeah, no one's making those.
Give me Michael Gondry 100 times out of 100. I will totally take, and Charlie Kaufman. Give me for my weird movie fix, I'll take those 2 guys any day of the week.
Mm.
Somebody's going to edit that out and just have a little clip of me going, I'll take those 2 guys any day of the week.
Yeah. It'll be a perfect little standalone, no context clip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd like to retract that, please.
Yeah. We're doing a little bit of what do you call that when the government does it? It's called a
retraction.
No, it's a different thing where they cross it out, black it out. it's called.
Oh, redaction.
Redaction. We would like to redact, yes. Brian.
I'd like to redact that from the record, please. Yeah. Thank you.
I love the term redact. From record.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I also had a fun Lyft story. I'll do this quick because we want to get to Dunaway.
Yeah.
But ever since I got the new 3D printer and had to buy the new IKEA tabletop that's much bigger to support it, I took the legs off this old IKEA table and put that on. But then I've had this other tabletop, this other IKEA tabletop that didn't have any legs. And so I said, well, all right, and next time I'm in the area of IKEA, like probably while I'm lifting, I'm going to a rideshare driving. Lifting screws people up. Ubering, we'll just call it Ubering. Mm. I'll pop into IKEA and pick up some legs.
Right.
So I'm Ubering on Saturday afternoon. Yeah. And I get a ride that is, their destination is IKEA. I am taking them to IKEA. So I'm like, oh, perfect. All right, this is great.
That is great. That's a perfect day to have leg day, by the way, is to go to IKEA.
It's perfect leg day. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, awesome. I'll just make this my last ride of you know, I'll turn the app off so I don't get any more rides. Pop into IKEA, drop this guy off, pop into IKEA, get legs.
Yeah.
and then turn on the app and see if I can make my way home.
Yeah.
He gets in and he says, hey, so we're doing a pickup at IKEA, and then a pickup at Best Buy. I'm getting a big TV at Best Buy and then a big TV stand at IKEA, and then round trip, you're bringing me back home. And I'm like, oh, the app right now, the thing is only showing me IKEA, so you need to add those stops. He's like, oh, okay. So so I'm like, oh, crud, this is not going to give me any time at IKEA to go get legs.
No. Also, I didn't know you could do that and put stuff like a TV in the car.
You
and
can
all that?
Do stop. What's that?
I didn't know they could put like a TV in the car or other big stuff. I guess you can do luggage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do luggage, and you know, if you make a stop, I pick people up at Walmart or from the grocery store, and I help them load all their bags into the car. And
what if it's something huge? Like, what if it's like a bed frame or I don't know?
Well, this thing that he bought, I'll get to it. Actually,
okay,
this TV stand that he bought was not small. Mm. So I'm like, oh, cred. All right, well, I say, you know, well, I actually need to get something from IKEA as well. If we're doing curbside pickup, I'm just going to place my order now for the legs I want because I already know what I want, and it'll take me 5 minutes.
Right.
And then I'll just do curbside pickup with you. They'll put your stuff in. They'll put my stuff in. We'll go. He's like, cool. And then he says, oh, and it's actually the app is telling me that it's faster for us to do the Best Buy stop first and then do IKEA. And he's not able to get the thing to go home. Like, it's only letting him add one stop, and it's keeping IKEA as the final destination.
But it's supposed to let you do more, right? Or is,
well, I've never had anyone do two stops in a ride, and so I'm thinking that it only lets you do one stop. That you can do a stop and then a destination, but not two stops and a destination.
Got it.
But I said, you know, once we leave Best Buy and I mark that we've left that stop, see if it lets you add another stop, make IKEA the stop, and then make home the final destination.
Got it.
So in the meantime, like anytime we're at a stoplight, I'm like pulling up the IKEA app. Okay, there's the legs I want. Boop, boop, boop. All right. Add to cart. Boop, 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 boop. Curbside pickup. Boop, boop, boop. Up, you know, double tap on the side button. Yeah. Smile in the little camera so it pays for it. Excellent. All right. Got my curbside pickup order.
Nice.
So we get to Best Buy. Best Buy takes forever to do their curbside pickup. They send him a text and say, you are next in line. Let us know what parking spot you end up in. There's like numbered parking spots for the curbside pickup. He sure. says, well, we're in spot number one because there's no other people here. And then we wait. And we wait, and like 10 minutes goes by, and nobody comes to bring his stuff out. 5 minutes is what the app allows for a stop. But because at that point it says, if they haven't come out, you can leave them. That's what the Lyft app says.
Really? You can just take off?
The 5 minute wait of the stop.
Oh my gosh.
You'll still get paid. Feel free to end the ride.
I did not know that.
I never do that. I can't imagine.
Of course
imagine.
You wouldn't. Right, exactly. No. If it's an extra 5, 10, you're staying.
I'll give them 10 minutes, and you know, at some point I'll give up, especially if they leave a baby in the car. I'm probably stuck there for a little bit longer. But so finally he goes in, and mind you, he's in a walking boot. He had foot surgery the week before. He's in a walking boot. So he hobbles his way into the Best Buy, and then comes back a few minutes later with his giant TV and a coffee maker, coffee maker on a little shopping cart. So I hop back there. I help him load stuff into the back of the thing. And then I mark the stop closed, and we make our way to IKEA. Keep in mind, this is like 45 minutes just. If we were to drive from his place to IKEA alone without the Best Buy stop and without 10 minutes at Best Buy, this would be a 45-minute ride. So it's already, we're like into an hour.
Dang, dude. This guy, he was your buddy that day, though.
He was my buddy. We chatted about everything. I found out about, you know, he works for Wall Street in New York, coming out here to visit his girlfriend who lives out here. They both love their jobs, although he's thinking about leaving Wall Street and changing jobs and coming to live in Colorado because he likes the weather out here better, blah, blah, blah. So we get to IKEA, and the whole time he's trying to add IKEA as a stop and make the destination home not working. I said, all right, well, here's what we'll do. We'll mark IKEA as keep IKEA as the end point. Yeah. At that point, I will just turn off the IKEA app, or I'm sorry, turn off the Lyft app.
Yeah.
Whatever you were going to pay for the ride, take off a third and Venmo me at Coverville, and we'll just call it good. He's like, oh my God, that'd be great. I'm like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. We're all humans here. We're not a bunch of robots. We can get this
exactly,
done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. People gave rides to other people before Lyft came around.
That's
and Uber.
Right.
We could do this.
That's right.
So we get to IKEA. We park at the curbside pickup. We go in. He goes up and shows them the little code that they sent. Oh, yeah, we'll get your TV stand. How about you, sir? Can I help you? I'm like, well, I haven't gotten the code yet. But I ordered some legs, just, you know, 4 table legs. Like, oh, yeah, that's what time did it tell you could pick those up? And I said, well, it told me 6 o'clock and it's only 4. It told me 6 o'clock, but I figured they're legs. I mean, how long? Yeah, no, we've got a big backlog. I'm like, oh, really? All right. Can I just go around, go into the store? Can I cancel my order, then go around, go into the store, get the legs and bring them down to you and show you that I've got them? No, you'll actually have to go through the line and pay for it. I'm like, all right, fine.
So,
he's like, Brian, totally. Don't worry about it. You know, you did me a solid waiting at Best Buy. They've got a nice couch in the lounge here, TV showing the football game. I'm going to hang here, watch the game. You go get the legs and then come back and get me and we'll go.
Like, yeah.
Oh, wow, this guy's real nice. Really cool.
Yeah.
And so I hop up and I'm starting to go up the escalator to the actual entrance of IKEA. Yeah. And thank goodness I know. Tina and I learned the trick with IKEA. You know where the shortcut little swingy doors are?
Mm-hmm.
You can bypass huge swaths of that landscape. Yeah. You know, oh, you cut through here and you go right into rugs. And then you go here and you get to plantains.
No, it seems crazy when you're doing it, but there is a path. And once you know it, you'll never do anything else.
Exactly. Yeah. You can get in and out of IKEA in a much shorter amount of time.
Yeah.
So the guy was nice enough to tell me the aisle and bin number for the legs. I go there, bloop, 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 grab all 4, go into line. Somebody's in front of me doing the self-checkout, and they're looking at every item and then scanning and then looking back at the item and then looking at the screen to make sure that the screen says the item that they're looking at. And then they put the item in their bag. I'm like, oh, my God. I feel like I'm in a John Hughes film or something.
Oh, I love it.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, he's over in customer, like click pickup, right? Curbside pickup. My car is over here. with a TV and a coffee maker in it. Ooh. He has no, all he knows is my first name.
Yeah.
I get up in the car with four table legs, a TV, and a, yeah. and a coffee maker, and pew!
If you were that kind of person.
If I were that kind of person.
The problem is he would report it. He could report you as a driver.
He could easily then, report yeah. me to Lyft, and there would be problems. Yes. Yeah. Would not be worth the the deal. So so I get the legs and pop back down there. Sure enough, he's waiting there, I help him load his TV stand in there. Probably I was in IKEA for probably 10, maybe even 15 minutes, just because 12 minutes of that was that stupid line.
Oh, wow.
But
so they must get a lot of curbside requests then, that place.
They do. They apparently do. And it's a smart way to do it. Like, if you save so much money, because my problem with IKEA even happened while I was just going in to get the legs and passing through the 10th of IKEA that I went through. You pick up stuff. If you go through IKEA, you pick up more stuff than you went into IKEA for. If you do curbside pickup, you just get the thing you want and you are out of there.
Yeah.
But you can't place the order on the way to IKEA. You got to place the order the morning that you're planning on going to IKEA.
Yeah. And now you guys are going to lunch. No, not.
And that's
not,
right. Not. You know, we probably went. Oh yeah. So we get back to his apartment. I'm thinking, you know, there was no place for me to park the car. And you've got a car full of stuff, like a big, heavy TV stand that you can't carry on your own, a coffee maker and a big TV. And you're in a walking boot. And your girlfriend is also recovering from chemo, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we're going to do all this. We get there. Luckily, there's a parking space right in front. His girlfriend is out there waiting. He'd been texting with her the whole time and letting her know the story. And she walks up and says, "Oh my God, hello, you precious driver."
Like, this is good. Instead of taking off with that TV and losing all your karma hit points.
Exactly.
You got a buff. You got buffed, man.
I've got karma points in the bank. Let me know when I can spend those.
You got like a plus 50 rune installed now on your karma points. You're all good.
Yes, exactly. So
that's great.
Anyway, and he did tip me very well. Yes.
Oh, of course he did.
He tipped me in the app, and he gave me the third that he took off of the ride, he put back on Venmo. So, like, basically, he gave me the full price of what he paid for the ride down to IKEA, gave me that same amount for the ride back, even though I told him to take a third off.
That's great. That's great. That's my favorite Lyft story you've told. I like that.
It's very heartwarming. It's so much better than the guy who had his who made out with a FaceTime call in the back seat of my car.
Yeah, those guys, they get less of our time. Sorry, everyone.
Less of our time, exactly.
All right, I'm going to call Dunaway. We're going to have a game. And people are all worried it will take too long. No, this is a quick one. It doesn't take as long as Feud. We don't have an extra person in here. It's always a little bit easier.
You just have six things you've got to say and answer, right?
Yeah. It ain't that big a deal. Plus, I'll probably cream him today because I feel very motivated to win.
Ooh, good. Yeah. Excellent.
I don't even know why I feel that way, but I do. Hey, Brian Dunaway. You've been very patient. Thanks for hanging in there. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. I am very patient. That is a virtue.
Yeah.
It is. Patience, I hear, is a virtue.
Yes.
Yeah.
You live here in the States, that makes you an English patient. Oh, the English patient. I watched that Seinfeld episode and it was on my mind. Anyway.
I've seen that episode of Seinfeld. Still have not seen The English Patient. That's the last Oscar-nominated film that I haven't seen. Like, everything English Patient forward that's been nominated for an Oscar.
Oh,
for
really?
Best.
Oh, weird. That's the divider? That's crazy.
That is the dividing line, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I've not seen it either, so maybe we should do a watch-along or something with the community. Yeah.
I watched The Holdovers last night. That was excellent.
Oh, wasn't that great?
Also, yeah. Yes, and Oscar bait, right? They'll be going to be there. Yep.
Yeah, very Oscar baity.
I liked that movie better the first time I saw it when it was called Dead Poet Society.
Dead Poet.
I liked it better when it was called Dutch. I don't know.
Dutch. Oh, my gosh. I used to love Dutch. I don't think it's as good as I thought it was. Anyway, well, it's good to have you here. We're going to play some half
Dutch
asses.
Is real good.
Oh, I know. You know what? I'll go back to it. I just worry.
There's two Thanksgiving movies I watched, Planes, Trains, Automobiles, and Dutch.
I didn't know Dutch was a Thanksgiving film, is it? Set around Thanksgiving? Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that. Well, they're both.
We watched it for a film sec, didn't we?
Dutch? No, I don't think so. But that's their both.
Unless it was before episode 200. Y'all know my limit.
Yeah, that's your limit. That's your brain limit.
I can remember anything. Okay.
Everything is
why
gone.
Why would I watch it then? I have no idea why I would have watched Dutch, because I definitely did watch Dutch.
I don't know.
But I don't know why I would have watched Dutch.
It's John Hughes.
If it wasn't for...
John Hughes, right? Yeah. Again? So both those are John Hughes joints.
Yeah.
He likes the Thanksgiving. All right. Well, let's get to it. Brian, explain these rules and the game and who's winning and all this stuff.
Okay. This is a Welcome to Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'll give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. I didn't come up with a thing. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if any of those are wrong, they get 0 points for the round. Get one right gets you a point. Two right gets you 3 points. And three right gets you 5 points. Player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. Hey, who are our contestants? Well, Scott, you're playing for Wayne Dixon in Aurora, Illinois.
Woo!
Party Wayne. On. Excellent. No kidding. It's a Wayne in Aurora, Illinois.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It truly is Wayne's world.
It's also up, that's Fletcher's zone, isn't it? That's where Fletcher lives.
It is, yeah. He's in that area of the state as well.
Yeah.
Brian, you're playing for Brian.
Oh.
Chattanooga, Tennessee. So hopefully you don't get confused as to which Brian you are, the player or the winner, if you win. So make sure you keep track of that.
Yeah. I win either way.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's,
you
that's
do.
One way to
Brian
look at
will
it.
Brian will win either way. All right, and we'll talk about the prizes here in just a second. Let's get to the game. We're going to start off with an easy one. Easy.
Should Shut be. Up.
Should be.
You always say that, and then it's like, name the three pimples on the Pope's butt. And I'm like, I don't know.
Do they have names? That'd be great. All right, it is your first one is, which of these are among the original five Planet of the Apes movies? So, you know, we've had a bunch of newer Planet of the Apes movies, but there was a whole bunch of Planet of the Apes movies in the 70s, late 60s, mid 70s or early 70s. How many of them can you recognize from this list? Your choices are Ruins of the Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Law of the Planet of the Apes, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, and Planet of the Apes 5, The Revenge of Dr. Zaius.
I believe I know these answers, and I have locked them in already.
Do you really?
No.
I can't remember. I think these all sound right and wrong at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I know one of them is like...
All of them are kind of bad, by the way.
And I'm going to uncheck that. This feels like bait.
They're fun to see. We should absolutely film sack every one of these, but they're really bad. Like, they're not... That first movie's, you know... Great in
but
ways.
You went with three, Scott?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Damn it. All right. I'll go with 3-2.
I'm going in with full steam. Full steam ahead here today. I'm going to rock you today.
Okay. All right. The answers are Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, and Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, thank God.
You both got all three correct. For,
dang it. I was hoping you'd screw up. Damn it.
I was too. Well, the Law of the Planet of the Apes is like one that's like, it's all about a court hearing. And I was thinking, that can't be right, though.
Yeah.
Conquest, I think. Oh, no, yeah, is Conquest is the one.
Conquest. One of them has it.
Beneath is the one where they've actually got the underground cavern that they're all living in.
Yeah. That is a
I knew
weird...
there was Escape, and Beneath was definitely Conquest. I couldn't remember.
Beneath is really weird, and I think Charlton Heston's back for that one.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, we should really film sack that.
I'm back
for
really damn should. Dirty I'm, movie. Yeah.
I believe it or not, I actually have all those on Blu-ray. I have the entire original set of Planet of the Apes movies.
When you come over.
It might even be a box set with the newer ones up until... Yeah, I'll have to see. I think it's got everything that was released as of like 3 years ago.
Oh, even the newer, like the Matt Reeves stuff.
Yeah, the newer, yes, exactly. Rise and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I love
but
those.
Not the newest one that comes out this year, obviously.
Right.
Obviously. Yeah.
The one that hasn't come out yet.
The one that hasn't come out yet is not in my Blu-ray collection, believe it or not. Crazy.
Wild.
Yeah. Who would have figured? all right. Boy, another easy one. Now you believe me when I say they're easy?
I don't think you meant for it to be easy.
I did.
I think we got lucky. All right, go ahead.
I think you both had a chance on this one. Star Trek characters who guest appeared on Star Trek The Next Generation. So who from the original Star Trek cast made a guest appearance on Star Trek The Next Generation?
I'm locked in.
You locked in?
I'm not telling you how many. Not doing that.
Damn it.
You're going to have to find out for yourself.
Nah.
It's kind of fun watching the one, like watching you guys put your little dots in and what you
take it back. Like no, yes, no.
Yeah, I'm very confident in this one.
I'm going in. I'm not as confident. I do know I watched one of these recently, and I was like, oh, there's so and so. He looks so skinny. What happened? I think they must have aged him. But anyway, go ahead.
Mm. Okay. All right. Yes, correct. TV show, not movie. Absolutely. All right. You guys both locked in on Dr. McCoy and Scotty.
Oh.
However,
uh-oh,
one of you chose.
I probably went the wrong way.
The other one chose Spock. Of course, Spock gets the
beard.
It was like there was a search. They had to find Spock again in Next Generation. Sorry.
Yeah,
he dressed up like a. Remember, he had Romulan face work done to be a Romulan.
You can keep trying to convince me. I don't remember.
It was at least a two-parter, maybe more. I can't remember how long
they did it. It was a two-parter. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And of course, in Generations, you got your Captain Kirk, but that's not that was not in the TV show. That was not on Star Trek: The Next Generation. That was Star Trek Generations.
That's true.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And McCoy was just.
I can't believe you don't remember your first.
Yeah,
Scotty was first episode, right?
Which no. Other way around. McCoy was really old and walking down the hall in that first episode.
He was so skinny.
It was 100 and something years old. And then Scotty was the one where they pulled him out of the transporter signal.
Pulled his pattern out of the buffer.
Yeah.
And then
don't remember Spock being on the Next Generation. I'll have to go back and watch it. You can explain it to me again, Scott, but doesn't matter.
I remember the first, it was a two-parter, and the first episode ends with the hood coming off, and it's Spock, and it's Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
And then the second episode is the full-on.
It was a big deal at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Scott, leading with 10 points.
Yeah,
You need to get all of these just to tie Scott. Fortunately, it's something up right up both of your alleys. Let's see how well you remember Convoy. Which of these are accurate CB radio slang? Your choices are Flying Donut for a police chopper, Chicken Coop for a way station, Rock City for Detroit, Snail Trail for a speed zone, Buster Brown for a UPS truck, and Go-Go Juice for coffee. Which three of those are accurate terms?
These all feel right and wrong at the same time.
This is a great one. I don't know for sure, but I'm going with a couple of them here.
Yeah.
They're all awesome. I love it. I need some go-go juice. Come on.
Exactly.
I'm passing through Rock City. Got to get some go-go juice and chicken coop.
All right. I'm gonna do that.
All right.
Even though I know they're not right. But I'm going all left side just to see if.
Are you going to tell Scott you're going all left side? All right.
Fine with me. Care. I'm good.
Well, I'll tell you. A flying donut is a police chopper.
Yeah.
A chicken coop is a way station.
Dang it. No, I'm getting worried now.
And Rock City is their slang term for Little Rock, Arkansas. The other one Scott got right was Buster Brown for a UPS truck. Go-Go Juice is actually their term for gas or diesel. That's Go-Go Juice.
Yeah.
Stop and get some Go-Go Juice. And Snail Trail is not their term. A turtle race is their term for a speed zone.
My dad had a CB in our motorhome. So every time we'd go to Lake Powell or something, he was always on there talking to truckers. And I used to be, it used to make me so nervous because of the way they talked. And he would try to do it. He'd be like, yeah, I'm heading down to blah, 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 come on and blah, 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 over or whatever. And they'd come back and go, hey, and I used to sit there going, this doesn't sound right. None of this is right. What is this?
What is this language?
Yeah, I didn't like it when I was a kid, but I wish I would have paid more attention because it was actually pretty fun for him.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm going to start using Buster Brown for UPS truck on the regular. I really like that term. Yeah. Hold on, Tina. Got to wait for the Buster Brown to deliver my my printer resin.
I wonder why.
That means congratulations is going to Wayne Dixon. Wayne's World. Party on. Excellent.
Sorry, Brian.
You're getting Autonauts versus Pirate Bots and The Quarry Deluxe Edition on Steam.
Ooh.
But Brian in Chattanooga, you're getting some pretty cool too. The Dark Pictures Anthology. House of Ashes sounds like a fun little sweet game.
Oh, I'm sure it's very wholesome.
Dark Pictures Anthology, House of Ashes.
Yeah, no, so that one I know. The other two I don't know. Oh no, I know The Quarry. The Quarry is also a horror game, and it's made by the same people, these Dark Pictures Anthology people.
Oh, really? Okay.
So House of Ashes, it may even be in the same
series. I can't remember, but they're both really good, highly regarded horror games. So if you're into those, you're going to love those. Astronauts versus Pirate Bots. No idea. I don't know what that is. I'm sure it's great though. Because pirate, sure, who doesn't like astronauts and who doesn't like pirate bots?
Exactly. Well, it's not. It's Autonauts, Scott. It's
oh, I keep Autonauts. I keep reading pirate. Oh yeah, there you are. Autonauts.
Autonauts versus pirate bots. But who doesn't like Autonauts? I don't know.
I mean, even Brian likes. He likes GoBots. So what's wrong with him?
GoBots, yeah. Scooter.
Oh, they suck. Anyway,
what's your take, Ibbit? What do you think about Scooter from GoBots?
GoBots. I couldn't tell you thing one about GoBots. Listen, I wasn't even Transformers. I was Micronauts. Mm. Right. There was no.
You had
there
a
was
pure,
no Transformers.
Yeah.
So definitely no GoBots in my life.
There are days I wish the Micronauts would have.
Were you
gone
were you
on to
cheap?
Be as huge?
Is that why you got Micronauts? Because they were small and cheap. Is
Micronauts
that
weren't cheap. They were. You
they
had to
were
buy
not
the tubes.
Cheap. They were expensive.
Well, they're not cheap now.
No, they weren't cheap at the time, man. Those I had to do so many chores to earn a freaking Biotron and or hope that I would get something for Christmas.
Yep.
But yeah.
And you and I both had the whole tubed up setup, right?
Yeah, the rocket tubes.
That was so awesome.
It was great.
Up, tube up.
Like it would just it'll fan on one end and blow it around.
So like the transportation method on Futurama is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's just tubes of Micronauts. And it was so cool. You could just, depending on how much money you had, you could buy tons of it and just have it all over your house.
Yeah.
I didn't have that much, but anyway. Micronauts rocked. GoBots sucked. Okay. That's
Kreyer and Baron Karza and all the little magnet connections and stuff. So great.
Yeah. So go suck a GoBot. Bye. All right, he's gone. That is it for that. Let's take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with our good pal Steven Schleicher. It's his time of the month. And we'll see what he's got going on. A few interesting things been dropping over the weekend. All that coming up in a moment after Brian plays a song. What do you got?
Yeah, boy, those of you who are like, yeah, Brad, you need to play more hard stuff on the show. Well, boy, have I got something for you. Got a band called The Intemperate Sons. They have a brand new album called Once Again. And they are, I'm sorry, take that back. This is their new single. Their album is going to be called Dark Days Night, which is coming out early 2024.
And I've been sleeping like a dog. Like that.
It's produced by Amir Darak and the Intemperate Sons, recorded at the Kitchen Recording Studios in Dallas, Texas. These guys are great, and they are some heavy stuff. Originally from Dallas is where they came from. So
amazing name, by the way. Intemperate Sons. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Love that.
I think people are really like this. From the brand new album called A Dark Day's Night, here is Once Again.
You done it once again. Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Man frees a tiger so the tiger can finish her fight.
Your best.
And we're back. Tell me who that was again.
There's no way that Ollie Munk does not spray a lot of saliva when he talks. When you listen to that, there's like, okay, thanks. Someone please get Juno Temple a towel, please.
Yeah,
please.
No kidding. That guy's a spit monster. Yeah. Guaranteed. Yeah. Oh, I loved him so much. Gosh dang it. That season was so good.
Oh, what is... I just heard Juno Temple is going to be in the new...
Put her in everything from now on.
New film that it's like the... or new season of something that I've been trying to get you to watch.
Oh, and really?
This would finally push you over the edge, I think.
It absolutely will. I love her in this. Loved her.
And she's just been announced for... Oh, what is it? Dang, I'm looking. Upcoming. Here we go. Untitled Venom sequel. That's right. She's going to be in the next Venom movie.
So okay, well then I guess I'll watch Venom. I'll get caught up. I'll watch those first two. I'll be
get
all
caught
set
up
for
on
us.
The first two Venoms. And if we have to, we can watch them on Couch Party.
Give her all the Emmys and the Golden Globes and the whatnots. She was fantastic this season. So good. Everybody was. Really nobody good. Phoned it in. They stuck landing like never before. Freaking Fargo, man. Mm-hmm. Gosh dang
so
it.
So good.
My fandom went up 10 feet. Anyway, go ahead.
That band you just heard, by the way, were the Intemperate Sons from their brand new album, Dark Days Night. That is their song, Once Again.
Excellent. Dr. Calhoun says, I don't get Juno Temple. Watch Fargo. You'll get Juno Temple, okay?
Yeah.
You'll get her. If you think all she is just a kind of a bratty British girl from Ted Lasso, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
She was great at that, but you were so wrong about that.
I Am Sci-Fi suggests that we sack Venom, and I agree. I think Venom.
Ooh, let's do Venom 1. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good one.
Let's sneak it in sooner than later. I got a complaint yesterday. I got a guy says, and he was super nice about it. He was saying, I hope you guys take this in the way it's meant. It's just a, you know, what's the word I'm trying to say? Constructive piece of criticism.
Oh, sure.
But he says, man, I love TMS. I listen to it every day. It just gets better and better. But lately on FilmSack, the movies you guys are watching just don't interest me at all. And it made me think, not that we need to change anything major, but I do think we ought to like get some stuff in there where it's like, oh yeah, of course you should do Venom. Oh yeah, you should do that weird old thing from the 60s that everyone talks about it forever. And then when you guys finally watch it on FilmSack. Lately, we've been doing like movies like, I don't know, Black Hat's fine, but it's not like, you know, there's nothing significant about Black Hat. It's just kind of there. So I don't know. I kind of get his point.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, 3 Days of the Condor, widely respected film. Does it hold up? I mean, I feel like for every, you know, for every Black Hat, for every we've never heard of this, there's a Desperado. There's the Arrival. I mean, it's like,
yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's a really good point. Maybe, you know, I don't want to, I try not to give
off of a week coming off of Black Hat. It'd be like, it's kind of a little bit of a meh movie. Good for a Michael Mann film. Okay.
Yeah, it's all right. For us talking and having a good time. Always good. See, that's the part I would say is that even if you don't like the movie, come for the fun.
Yeah.
Just come for the listening. Yeah. You don't have to watch the movies before you tune in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But,
and I probably shouldn't get one email. I don't want to. I try not to do this.
Yeah,
you get one email
and
then try to apply it to everybody. Obviously, you can't do that. But I do look forward to Payback, though. We're doing Payback this weekend. I love Payback so
can't
much.
Can't wait for that. Yeah, exactly.
Almost my favorite. Actually, it might be my favorite Mel Gibson movie. I'm trying to think if I like something more.
Oh, really?
Taking the Mel Gibson problems out of the mix.
Yeah, the Mel Gibson equation out. Yeah.
It's either this or it's Road Warrior.
Lethal Weapon is hard for me to top. Road Warrior.
Yeah, for me it's probably this and Road Warrior tied, and then he's great in Lethal Weapon. Mm-hmm. Even when the Lethal Weapons weren't as good, he was still mm-hmm. really great. After that, I guess. What's the one you got an Oscar for, or one of them? You'll never take my freedom.
Yeah, Braveheart.
Braveheart. Yeah. Braveheart's great. Braveheart. It's a good time. You know, he gets.
What was the religious one? The Passion of the Christ. No.
He just directed that though.
Just directed that. Wasn't okay.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Well, yeah, but didn't he get nominated for that?
Oh yeah, he did. He got nominated for Hacksaw Ridge as well.
Yes, right. Another great film. See, when he's behind the camera.
Oh, he's a great director.
And that Santa thing he did a few years ago, I thought was great, where he's like Santa hiding out in the wilderness of Alaska or wherever it is.
He was the best part. He was really good in it.
Yeah.
I like him in a lot of weird stuff, but I just wish he wasn't such an ass sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Fat Man. That's it. Thank you, TV's Travis.
Oh, yeah. Fat Man. Fat Man was surprisingly good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like the idea of sacking Venom, and I like the idea of sacking somebody threw out one that was like, oh, that would be a great one to sack as well. Shoot. And it's gone.
I can't think of it either. Was it not Ransom? Ransom's okay.
No, but there was one that we just, because it was only in my head. Baby Driver is now on Peacock, and I think it's worth a sack.
I still haven't seen it. I'd love to see it. Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, if we can deal with the Gibson problem, we can deal with the ass hat known as Kevin.
Kevin Spacey? Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
All right. Well, what are we going to do with this ass hat right here?
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Just kidding. I don't think he's an ass hat. He's a cool hat. He's a cool hat, Jack.
And a cool hat with a cool guy in it.
That's right. Only cool guys underneath his hats. Anyway, it's Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How are you today?
Hi, Steven. It's so good to hear from you.
Oh, man. I just love hanging out with Brian.
Yeah, I know, right? Never calls you an asshat. That's why. I get it. Hey, I heard your hometown the other day getting talked about on, I think it was Bill Burr's podcast or somebody like that. They were talking about how they loved performing there, but they hated, they hated driving there. They hated it.
Yeah.
Because of how there's nothing. Is it really like that? Like, is that nothing? Just, you know.
I mean, have you ever been on the east half of Colorado?
Briefly.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like from Denver to like Salina / Kansas City. it's the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's all the Front Range, High Plains.
I got all self-defensive because I was like, Steven lives there. You can't talk shit about Steven.
No, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
All right. Well, as long as you're okay with it, then I'm fine.
I mean, I've got the internet, so the world can come to me.
What do you need? Exactly. What do you need? What do you need to leave the house for?
That was actually the question when I was interviewed back in 2000, I guess, 2002, to come back to Hayes. They were like, you're living in California. Are you sure you're going to be able to handle Hayes? Mm. And I'm like, yeah, you got the internet and the cable television. I can have everything come to me. Everything else is fine.
What else do you need? But those two things. Exactly.
Well, you know, there's some other
things, but. Hot and cold running water, sewage system, going out to the main city pipe. Let's see. That's about it. What else do you need?
What else do you need?
Well, you're here and that means we get to talk about some nerd stuff. And since so much happens over on your site about comic books, about film, about all those connected bits of tissue, I noticed something over the weekend. For some reason, Cobra Commander was trending on social media networks, including Twitter / X and all these other places. And I thought, what the hell is going on here? Is Cobra Commander coming to kill us all? No, you actually know the answer to this. What is actually happening with Cobra Commander right now?
Yeah. So last week, Cobra Commander number one dropped from Skybound Entertainment. This is the technically fourth or fifth book from Skybound Entertainment in their new Energon or Energon universe, whatever you call the stuff the Transformers power supply stuff is, Energon. So here's the thing. Back in 2021, 2002, IDW lost the rights to, or Hasbro decided not to renew the rights to Transformers, G.I. Joe, and maybe one other property. And no one knew where those things were going to go to. And then finally, it was announced in June of last year that with the release of Void Saga number one, that Transformers and G.I. Joe had moved over to Skybound Entertainment, which is Robert Kirkman's joint that is technically an imprint of Image Comics. But in Void Saga, or I'm sorry, not Void Saga, Void Rivals, it's revealed that these two warring factions suddenly are being played by the Transformers. You know, the Transformers are using them against their will. And so then that leads into this greater storyline of the Transformers come to Earth. And so then obviously G.I. Joe is getting involved in that. Larry Hama continues the series from IDW and Marvel. So he's been doing that for a while. And then to really kind of dive into the backstory of how G.I. Joe and the Transformers are so intertwined with one another, they've got two miniseries, Duke, which of course follows G.I. Joe's Duke, that launched last month, and that's a 4 or 5 issue miniseries. And then last week, we get to see kind of the origin story of Cobra Commander in another 4 or 5 part miniseries. And it's great because you learned that he was this outsider that came into Cobra Law, and he kind of was dealing with technology that they weren't supposed to be dealing with. And there was an uprising and he tried to take over and, you know, gets the scarred face. So we know why he has to wear the mirrored mask and everything.
Oh, I was going to ask you if we've ever seen him with the mask off. Have we?
We don't see him with the mask off in, I mean, we do see him, but we don't see his normal face. Mm. He's wearing a mask when he's in Cobra Law. And then there's an uprising and a bomb goes off and it scars his face. And Golobulus is like, I'm going to revive you so that you can so I can watch you die. And then Cobra Commander is like, no, listen, I've got this idea on how we can use this technology for us to take over the world. And so then he gets his mirrored dome, and he's starting to walk the earth at the beginning of the series. And we find out, and this is this was probably the biggest reveal and probably why Cobra Commander was trending, is that ever since Void Rivals dropped, people have been and the Transformers showed up. Starscream is the big villain in the Void Rivals. Mm. And everyone's been like, OK, so where's Megatron?
Oh, no.
Well, for hundreds of years, I guess Cobra Commander has been has held Megatron captive and has been using him to advance the Cobra technology.
Oh, no. Oh, that's bad
news. That was the big surprise at the end of Cobra Commander number one. But if you want to, I think it's Joshua Williamson is the writer on this. He really is diving into some G.I. Joe lore, especially in Transformers lore, going back to the G.I. Joe movie and the Transformers movie from the 1980s. So if you're like, what the hell is a Cobra Law, or what is Golobulus, and what about all of this stuff, then you should pick up Cobra Commander. A little violent.
Uh-huh. I'm down with that. Down with that. Let's do it. No problem.
But I think it's good violence.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you expect Cobra Commander to not hold back, right? I mean, unfortunately, this is why I was never a fan of G.I. Joe back in the day, is because parachutes kept opening up every time a plane blew up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, these people need to die. And so, yeah, here, Cobra Commander is really exerting his power, and you really get a sense for I'm not trying to make him he's not a sympathetic character. He is a bad guy that you want to boo and hiss at every time you see him on the page.
Yeah. Yeah, of course he is. Now, let me ask you this, though. God, I got to text Metzen later. These two properties are some of his favorites. He even wrote some Transformers comics once. He loves G.I. Joe. I'll bet he's losing his shit. I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks.
The whole thing, I mean, Robert Kirkman is, he is smart when it comes to, let's get people excited about comics.
Yeah.
Because like everyone is like Void Rivals. Here's these two intergalactic species fighting with one another. And people are like, okay. And then Robert Kirkman joined. And then everyone who picked up Void Rivals number one gets to the last page and you're like, holy crap, is that Starscream? Mm-hmm. And then everyone's like, holy crap, this is a Transformers book. Mm-hmm. And so that instantly becomes a huge collectible, and it's probably going to be worth, you know, $500 for the first issue, that kind of stuff. So what he did with Cobra Commander, and everyone's like, okay, now we've seen Duke's point of view. Now let's get Cobra Commander's point of view. And then you drop Megatron, which again, for 6 months, people have been like, where's Megatron? And it's brilliant. It's just brilliant. And there's no marketing that has come out ahead of this, right?
Yeah,
it's
I didn't hear about it until you said something. I saw this trending. So
yeah, here's Cobra Commander and number one coming out in January, and it's Cobra Commander's point of view. No mention.
Any Autobots or Optimus?
Yeah,
Prime
yeah. There's
or?
Auto. Yeah, Auto in Void Rivals and in the Transformers series, because there is a Transformers series going along at the same time. Yeah, Optimus Prime is there, and he's trying to save Earth and everybody. And of course, G.I. Joe is very interested in the energy cubes that drive everybody, and seeing how they can exploit it, in the same way with Cobra Commander. This is a big universe that they have created through these five or six different titles. And if people haven't heard about this until now, oh man, you've got about 6 months worth of reading to catch up on.
All right. Well, you got me super peaked. I like both those, these things. I watched them all as a kid, and I would be remiss if I skipped it.
If you are a fan of the 80s stuff, then you should probably pick up all this stuff that's coming out of Skybound right now.
Okay. Well, sign me up. I'm doing it. I guess I just go buy the comics. That's how I get it.
Yeah, go buy the comics. Get them on Comixology. Well, not Comixology, but Kindle Services now is what it is.
Whatever it is.
Get it on Amazon. Yeah.
If I launch that Comixology app, does it just tell me to go to the Kindle app now? Or
it'll say, yeah. I haven't opened it up
that
in a while.
It bums me out, man.
I think it does want you to open up your Kindle app, which I don't really have a problem with, because the experience is still the same. It's just that sometimes I don't want my textbooks mixed up with my comic books.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's, and they mix them up like crazy. Then none of the default listings are very good at saying, here's your comics, here's your books. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time in that Kindle app and on a Kindle itself. And I don't like how the comics get mixed into the Kindle view, because I'm not going to read one of those on my e-paper thing. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go get that on a tablet. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, Amazon, get your shit together.
Considering most of the people who founded Comixology no longer work there.
Yeah.
Are
they doing anything else, or are they like happy to just go retire?
So Chip Mosier is now running a digital comic company called Distillery. And they just launched, I want to say, in November. And they've got some cool titles coming out both digitally and in print format. And what they're doing is they're printing in magazine format instead of comic book format. So your comics are actually a little bigger and harken back to those black and white comics from the 70s, your Heavy Metals and your Vampirillas and those kinds of things. So
I like that.
Looking forward to getting my hands on a print copy of some of that stuff.
DSTLRY is how they spelled Distillery.
Of course they do. Yes.
They got some big names in here. Scott Snyder's doing stuff.
Lack of vowels of the future.
They put Snyder right up top because that's probably the biggest name. Well, they got Jock. I love Jock's work.
Yeah, they've got big names. I mean, I think the Ram V is over there. Yeah. Mark Bernardin, some people may know from the Fat Man on Batman with Kevin Smith stuff. He's a big writer, but he's been doing a lot of stuff there as well. So yeah, they're really good at bringing in some big talent for the launch of this. Now,
and is there an app? Is there already an app, or we're waiting for that?
I believe there is an app already available.
Okay, so I'm down, dude. Check that out. Okay. Let's also quickly talk about the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic book reboot. We should mention that Ultimate Spider-Man number one, but let's talk about the Turtles for a minute. What's going on there?
Yeah, so I think there was maybe a little bit of miscommunication from IDW's part. They had announced like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, that, hey, we have renewed our licensing agreement to continue to publish Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of great stuff coming up. And then a week later, they're like, hey, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is ending with issue 150. And then they just kind of left it at that. And everyone's like, oh, no, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is going away. And that's the total opposite of what I think IDW Publishing intended. Because then a few days later, they announced, hey, Jason Aaron, who many people know from he's done a lot of stuff over at Marvel. He just did a Avengers series, which was pretty cool. But he's worked on like every big property at Marvel Comics, also DC Image, DC Comics. He did Scalped for people who are fans of that series. They announced last week that he would be writing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with a new issue number one that debuts, I want to say, in April or May. So they are kicking that off fairly soon in a couple months. The one thing they haven't announced is who is the artist, and that is supposed to happen today. It may have already happened. I know IGN is supposed to have the exclusive on this, but I have checked a couple of times on their site, and I have yet to see anything about that. But IDW has been teasing that all last week about who's the artist joining Jason Aaron. So this could be really interesting because Jason Aaron does have an interesting take, I think, on superheroes. And there are times where he takes the concept of a superhero and deviates from the expected tropes.
Yeah.
And I think that's really appreciated. So to see what he's going to do with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, I am too. I like the turtles. Bring on more.
Who doesn't? Yeah, we're keeping it all in the 80s here.
Yeah, so. And that new movie from last year is really good. Like, yeah, just keep it coming. Yeah. Keep doing takes on it and make stuff for kids, make stuff for adults. Like, there's nothing wrong with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All right. No, they're awesome.
This Ultimate Spider-Man number one, this will be of great interest to Brian, I assume. How's that looking? What's going on there?
Okay, so they brought back the Ultimate Universe, and it's very kind of crazy because in the Ultimate Universe, Reed Richards went kind of crazy, and he destroyed the multiverse, essentially. But it's back, and in the way that form.
I know.
So Reed Richards prevented Peter Parker from ever being bitten by the spider. Well, now that the Ultimate Universe is back, and there just was like a 5 or 6 issue miniseries, what is it? I think it was just called Ultimate. I can't remember what the exact title was, but that kind of reintroduced the world to the Ultimate Universe, where everyone is like, something's wrong here. Something's not quite right. And so Ultimate Universe, we meet Peter Parker, had he never been bitten by the spider, and what his life is like. He's married. He's got kids. Uncle Ben is alive.
So it's what if, basically, you know,
yes, Peter Parker has never been. Very much so. And then at the end of the issue, he gets a mysterious hologram that says, hey, you were supposed to become a superhero. Do you want to do it? I can make it happen. and so now we're going to see what does a 35-year-old Peter Parker do when he gets his spider powers. And he still has to deal with being a parent and dealing with, well, spoiler alert, Uncle Ben is in charge of the Daily Bugle, not J. Jonah Jameson. So how is that going to play out? And people just, I was just like, do we really need to bring back the Ultimate Universe? Yeah. But apparently everyone jumped on this thing. So if you're looking to get a physical copy of Ultimate Spider-Man number one, good luck. I have seen prices go anywhere from $25 for a first issue all the way up to $700.
Really?
I think on eBay there was one
for the newest Ultimate Spider-Man.
Because
I actually have the original Ultimate Spider-Man number one.
Good gracious. $700 for a new comic.
Jeez, for a brand new comic.
That being said,
you'll be all right.
Check with your local comic shop, because I'm betting most of them have probably marked it up to about $10 or $15, which is to be expected if there's demand. And I also suspect that Marvel will do a second printing within the next month. So if your store doesn't have one, just say, hey, pull a copy for me. Issue number two comes out in February, and we've got a sneak peek over at majorspoilers.com today. So you can go and check that out. It's very interesting. It is got some really interesting art in the way that they're coloring it, I think. It is by Jonathan Hickman.
I like Hickman.
Who are fans of Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah.
Definitely want to go pick up Ultimate Spider-Man number two.
Interesting. Okay. One final note about that. He has a goatee in this one or no? Because in the previous run toward the end, he had a goatee. Peter did.
Yeah, no, he does not. He's got a beard. He's got a full-on beard.
Oh, full beard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Peter Parker.
I could be wearing my does whatever a spider can t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Show us your boobs. I'm going to throw you some beads now. Yeah.
Throw me some beads and buy me a hurricane.
Oh, that's coming up. Everybody be careful out there for Mardi Gras.
Oh,
right?
That's right. Yeah, no kidding. Right.
My sister-in-law is about to go back to Mississippi, and she's in a parade. And I said, are you the one having to show your boobs, or are you the one throwing beads to have? And she goes, I'm doing it for a parade for a bunch of kids, so no one's showing anyone their boobs.
Yeah, exactly. Come on now.
She made a good point. Steven, talking to you is always a pleasure. Is there anything else going on in the network over there you'd like people to know about?
No, I think everything's good. People, please come over to majorspoilers.com. We've got a lot of really cool stuff. If you want to know more about all these comic books that we're talking about, if you're looking for new comic book recommendations, certainly check out the Major Spoilers podcast. But until the next time I appear, stay hydrated, everyone.
Do it! Do it! All right. Mm-hmm. Always good to talk to Steven.
You know, I do. You do. I tease you a lot about how you boil things down. Like, you know, Angel Heart is just about Lisa Bonet and a shotgun.
Yeah.
And this is just about that. But your Mardi Gras inference is pretty spot on. It is boobs and beads. And
that's all it is, man.
80% boobs and beads, 20% Fat Tuesday.
Yeah. And the rest of it is drinking to the point that you don't remember any of it.
That's right. I can't wait till we get the correction email from Before Tank Girl. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, it'll be great. And look, living around a bunch of Southern people, my wife included, I'm sure I'll get corrected by them as well.
That's right. Throw me the beads. I'll show you the boobs.
That's right. Perfect use case. All right. We got a couple of quick things. One, so on the weekly now, the core team, myself, Beau Schwartz, and John Jagger are playing multiplayer games on Tuesdays. And tomorrow's no different. So tomorrow at noon Mountain, we'll be playing here on the live channels, all of it, frogpants.tv if you're trying to pick your poison. That includes Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, wherever you want to watch it, we're doing it. And tomorrow I think we're going to play, the new Sea of Thieves update is supposed to be insane, so we're going to give that a shot and play that together. So do check that out. Also, a quick text about football records. This came from, did we get a name? No, sorry, no name on this one, but it's a text.
The guy who emailed us about the correction about Mount Kenya being the highest point in the country of Kenya.
Oh, same guy. You're right. And he even mentions it. Okay, so here's what he says. Dear Sherpa Boots and Backpack. Your Boots and Backpack, I guess, right?
I guess. Well, I mean, I think Brian Dunaway. Brian Dunaway and I are Boots and Backpack. One is Boots, one is Backpack.
Got it. Oh, that makes sense because he was part of that. Anyway, I enjoyed listening to you graciously indulge my smart aleck observations about Kilimanjaro and Kenya before the 25-78 half-asses game. Oh, I have a smart-ass correction to 25-78's half-asses sports question. I am pretty sure that the hand of God, unquote, was not a controversial college play, as Mr. Ibbett said. Mr. Ibbett. I love that.
Mr. Ibbett. Sure. I'm Boots or Backpack at one moment, and then I'm Mr. Ibbett the next moment.
I feel like I need to ask you for a hall pass so I can go pee during class or something. But anyway, it says, but was from the World Cup football. Strangely, this also happened while I lived in Kenya in the 1980s, and it had something to do with the Argentinian Maradona getting away with scoring a goal with his hand. I have fondness for the foolishness, though, and then no name.
No, he's absolutely correct. 100% correct. Yeah, it was. Okay. So often when I get those half-asses questions, when there's like, which three of these are this?
Yeah.
A lot of times the other three will be also the same thing. Like, which are three words for hats, you know, for different kinds of hats? And then the other three were words from Alice in Wonderland or something.
Gotcha.
The other two were college plays, and the third one, I just was going through the thing so fast I didn't even read it clearly. So he's 100% correct. It's world hand of God is from World Cup football.
Thank you for the correction. If you guys have corrections, you want to send them
to yourself.
Keep it to yourself and never bring it up again.
Exactly.
Or you can text us at 801-471-0462 if you want to. It's up to you.
Yes.
You can email us too, themorningstream@gmail.com. And then real quick before we get out of here, I'm looking at your album that you have next to you today.
Yeah.
I need to try to guess this because I don't know what this is. So
you're never going
to
guess this. This is not an album that you'd recognize. This is an album that is was sent to me by discriminateaudio.com. And it's by a band called Unborn Ghost. And the album is called Heirs of Contempt and Derision.
You guys got to see
they sent
cover.
Me digital code too, which is why I haven't even taken the plastic off this thing. I just really like the album cover.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool.
Is she okay? Why is she so upset, our rainbow lady?
She's the all-female reboot of Casino Royale. she's the Mads Mikkelsen character.
Oh, and, she can't help but bleed out of her eye.
She can't help but cry blood. Yes, exactly.
Is she going to hit me with a little bag under an empty chair with a hole in it? Is she going to do that?
She is. Exactly.
Damn it.
So, yeah, they sent me a bunch of albums and CDs, and I've been listening to them, going through them, and it's like, oh, this one's kind of got the vibe we're looking for TMS. Some of these are a little out there. There's a song on this album called, well, if you spell out, go F yourself. Yeah, but say it out the full way. I really like the artwork.
Yeah, so it's really cool.
I do need to change it out. I've had that up for a couple of weeks now.
It's striking. I don't know why I didn't notice it before, but man. Real quick here, I was just going to make a comment about, we do that same reduction thing with Casino Royale. We always reduce it to that
it's
scene.
It's either that or the chair with no bottom.
Yeah, that whole, the whole Mads Mikkelsen connection to that movie, yes. That's all that movie just does.
No, you know, nothing about Ava Green and Vesper Lynn and that whole thing and how it's really a two-parter with Quantum of Solace, and you need to watch the two together as one movie.
Yep.
But I digress.
Yeah. Or that awesome intro song by Chris Cornell. I freaking love it.
Yes. Yeah.
One of my faves.
My name.
So good. All right. That's it. We're out of here. Big thanks to everybody for listening. If you'd like any questions answered as to where to go, what to do, what to click, how to do it, you can find it all at frogpants.com/TMS. We'll get out of here with some music because music is what makes the heart grow fonder.
It also soothes the savage soul.
Oh, that's right. Actually, yours is correct. Mine is mixed up with a whole other song.
Yours is absence, but...
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Brian, hey, why don't you play a song? I don't know who you
absence
got.
Absence makes the heart grow softer. greetings, program, says TJ from Memphis. Today, I start an exciting new opportunity at work on the iCloud team. That's awesome. He's going to get just synced up with the cloud.
Ooh, send us upgrades. Free upgrades.
Yeah, free Apple Premiere Plus, whatever it's called, the monthly. This actually is from earlier this month. I'm just now getting to it. So he's been at the iCloud team now for about 2 weeks.
Nice.
It's certainly the largest single thing I've ever worked on. I started out many years ago just asking the elderly, did you try turning it off and back on again? But now I'm there. I'm nervous and excited about this opportunity. I've requested a song that I've loved ever since the first time I've heard it. It's the song I whistle while I work that cheers me up after a rough one. And it's just a jolly little tune for the whole family. Dear Martha, it is with much affection and admiration that I write to you about this program, though.
Oh, man. Here. Here's a little of this. There you go. I just thought you deserved a little of the actual Dear Martha music.
Well, thanks. It's because I introed it many, many moons ago. anyway. So, yeah, TJ, first off, hope you're still loving working on the iCloud team. That's awesome. Congrats on the change, the move up. All right. This is his request. It's a cover of Oodie Lally from the Disney Robin Hood. This one performed by Los Lobos from their 2009 album, Los Lobos Goes Disney. The whole album's great, but the fact that they went in and really deep dived into this Robin Hood song is even better. Los Lobos covering Disney and Robin Hood with Oodie Lally.
Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest, laughing back and forth at what the other one has to say. Reminiscing this and that and having such a good time. Oodle-lolly, oodle-lolly, golly, what a day. Never ever thinking there was danger in the water they were drinking, they just guzzled it down. Never dreaming that a scheming sheriff and his posse was a-watching them and gathering around. Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest, jumping fences, dodging trees and trying to get away. Contemplating nothing but escaping, finally making it. Oodle-lolly, oodle-lolly, golly, what a day. They just guzzled it down. Never dreaming that a scheming sheriff and his posse was a-watching them and gathering around. Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest, jumping fences, dodging trees and trying to get away.
escaping, finally making it. Oodle-lolly, oodle-lolly, golly, what a day. Oodle-lolly, oodle-lolly, golly, what a day.
Good morning, my TMS hosts, Sword and Board. On TMS last week, there was a discussion about a chicken and egg situation, i.e. conscious ideas influencing dreams versus dreams presenting ideas to the conscious mind. This triggered something I read about many years ago that as artists you might find interesting. Thinking that I might be experiencing my own personal Mandela effect, though, I Googled this and found that I wasn't, thank God. Salvador Dali believed that one of the secrets to becoming a great painter was what he called slumber with a key. Slumber with a key was an afternoon nap designed to last less than a single second. To accomplish this, he would sit in a chair with his arms resting on the armrest and his wrists dangling over them. He held a heavy metal key between thumb and forefingers of his left hand and placed an upside-down plate directly on the floor below it. The instant he dozed off, the key would slip through his fingers, clang the plate, and awaken him. He would repeat the process, observing the increasingly bizarre hallucinations before he regained consciousness. He'd then incorporate his visions into his art. It's rumored that Thomas Edison did the same, but with a fist of ball bearings and aluminum plates on the floor directly below. These are examples of hypnagogia, the transition state between wakefulness and sleep, which results in a distorted perception of space and time, fluid idea association, and involuntary imagined sensory stimulation. You'll have to let us know which technique you both will be using, key or ball bearings. Love the show, though. Terry Z.
Hello, Mr. Johnson. This is Hootie 42 with your Salt Lake area commute report. For me, I drive Springville to Sandy, and it's about 35 minutes if there's no accidents on the stupid freeway. Most of the other people I work with are similar, although one insane person has a two-hour commute each way, but we only have to come in 2 days a week. Also, just going to mention, if you are going to the airport, you can park at the front runner stations, I know for sure, for at least a week, possibly two. But if you're still going to do long-term parking, go to a place called The Parking Spot, not the Salt Lake Airport parking. The parking spot is fantastic. They're cheaper than the airport, and they pick you up from your car, drop you back off at your car after they pick you up from when you get back, rather than the Salt Lake Airport long-term parking shuttle that slowly meanders through the gargantuan parking lot and might someday eventually get somewhere within spitting distance of hopefully a car that might or might not be yours. So anyway, have a great one. See you guys later. Bye.
Hey, Scott and Brian. It's Michael from Edmonton listening to TMS episode 2579 on Tuesday. I'm actually driving to work on Wednesday morning. You guys are talking about commutes in the U.S. and everything. I just want to share in Edmonton here, I drive 35 minutes, and I'll do our wonderful conversion for you. I'm doing about 70 miles an hour for about 35 minutes. That's my morning commute, and it's longer on the way home. But talking about temperature right now, and I'll convert for you guys as well, about 4 or 5 days ago, it would be zero, which is like, no, sorry, that'd be 32 Fahrenheit for you guys. Well, I woke up this morning, and it's converted about minus 23 Fahrenheit. And that's only been about 5 days. How do you like them apples, buddy?
Get more at frogpants.com.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole!